Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here, joining you as always, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, we are now 8 days away from the 2020 NFL Draft next Thursday. I'm getting really excited, man, and as for today's show, we're going to be talking about how to go about a deep class in the draft at a certain position, because, and again, rumors, you know it, man, rumors are going to be flying all over the place this week, next week. It's silly season right now, and some might have some real weight to it, some might not, but regardless, there was a rumor that surfaced today that some media member thinks it might be a report, you know, based on who he is talking to. But right now, it's clearly just a rumor. But I think it goes well into this episode talking about a deep class at a certain position and how to go about that if you're a general manager. And it's this rumor by Joe Torti of 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. Joe Torti on Twitter said he's hearing the Eagles could be aggressively pursuing a trade-up for Oklahoma wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. We actually, me and you, we had this discussion last Monday. We did on Mock Draft Monday. We did a mock draft last week where we did move up for specifically CeeDee Lamb, kind of to see, you know, how our board would look with less draft picks, what kind of value we could get with less picks, and if it's worth moving up for this guy. So, you know, we've had this discussion in the past, but now we're hearing maybe a little bit more details about the Eagles' true intentions. Again, take it with a grain of salt. This is not Adam Schefter saying this. This is not Jay Glazer saying this, but it's certainly something I could see that's possible.
Howie loves to do crazy things.
Just right, when he can do anything. You never know what Howie's going to do.
No, we never do, and I mean, he walked away with Andre Dillard last year. I think we were all pretty shocked by that. I was just like reminiscing on it. And it took you and I like a moment to really realize that they made that pick. Because
I don't
was
think
like,
he was on either of our radar, right?
No, I mean, every scenario we ran through in our head, Dillard was gone at that point. And
who was the Florida tackle that we were actually maybe thinking about?
Juwan Taylor.
More? Yeah, that's right. So yep. Even though the player, the position maybe we were thinking, but the player itself was and that's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's so, They moved up for Dillard, they moved up for Goddard, but they also traded back in 2018. They traded up multiple times for Carson Wentz. They stayed put in 2017. Howie will do, I mean, anything.
Just about. I mean, he's done everything that we've seen, from making draft day trades to making player trades to making just switching of picks in that Tim Jernigan deal where he didn't even have to give up a pick and got an additional player. So anything is in the cards, honestly. And just when you think it can't be done, I mean, Howie's one of the guys. And the thing that in the back of my mind I always sit on in this class is that the Eagles have a fantastic scouting staff. We know that.
And definitely.
The talk is that teams are going to make a massive amount of trades trying to accumulate 2021 picks because of this whole coronavirus thing. If the Eagles scouting staff is that deep and they did their homework, by all intents and purposes, they should be looking to take advantage and get their guys, because if teams want to move back and get some 2021 picks, go get your guys in this class and really take advantage of it. And another thing is, when UDFA time hits, I really think they're going to have the upper hand, because Howie likes to throw around high amounts of guaranteed dollars in the UDFA class. I know he's been in like the top five for the last couple years of single highest UDFA contracts to individual players. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about it, man. There are so many different options that I've ran through my head. I feel like I'm Doctor Strange.
There's 1 million scenarios, and
we've done them all.
Yeah, no, we really have, especially on Mock Draft Mondays, and we went through this one specifically last Monday, and we kind of went back and forth with it. I feel like both of us aren't like all in on a trade up based on we really like tier two, but we're also not totally closed off to it. And I feel like that's kind of where both of us are at. We're kind of in the middle where we're open-minded to anything, but we prefer not to deal like an extra first and second round pick to go get CeeDee Lamb. But philosophically, I want to ask you, let's say you are an NFL general manager and you're heading into this 2020 class with an incredibly deep wide receiver group. Let's go back to 2014, same thing at wide receiver, or 2017 at running back, right? Or last year, defensive line, extremely deep. Gino Camilleri, what is your philosophy as a general manager in the NFL? Like, how would you go about, and again, you're open to anything, you're an open-minded football analyst, but what do you think your philosophy would be when it comes to a deep class at a certain position in the draft? Like, how would you go about, you know, addressing that in the seven rounds?
I mean, Yeah, just like scouting, you have to contextualize everything and really what is the landscape of what's going on. And we know that teams, especially just for the example of quarterback, when they went and got Wentz, they knew that they preferred Wentz in that class as opposed to what was coming up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
They did their homework on that. It's been mentioned plenty of times, and they do that for every single position. So how I would look at it is, 2021, man, with the names like Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase,
sure,
and Justin Ross, I'm not giving up a ton of 2021 picks, because right now, yeah, you want to redo your receiver room, but you're not going to be able to do it all in one go. Even if you have Deshaun on the team, he's going to be gone next year. You're going to have to accumulate more veterans and more rookie picks. I think they get three in this class when it's all said and done between UDFAs. I think they walk away with five out of this class. But to me, I believe that even scouts have said it, into day three, into the fifth round, you could get starting guys. Because, man, if Devin Duvernay comes in the fourth round, I really believe he can start right away for this team.
I wouldn't be surprised if a Darnell Mooney was good and you got him in the fifth or sixth round.
Yeah, you know what was a good comparison I saw to him today was a Deontay Johnson type comparison. They just, out of nowhere, late in the draft process, have kind of skyrocketed up.
Watch Pittsburgh get him and turn him into a star.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But to me, I mean, if you can guarantee me, much like you guaranteed that you could get Carson Wentz by trading up to number two, if you could make a move to guarantee me CeeDee Lamb, I would do it. And right. I need 100% guarantee that he's going to be there to whatever pick you trade assets up to go and get. To me, I believe that that's the only way I go up. If you sit at 21 and one falls within your range to like 15 or 16, which I don't think happens, you're better off just trading back. If one of those defensive guys that we talked about, like Chazon, isn't there, or a guy like you said, Fulton, in your mind, I mean, I'd be okay taking Jeremy Chinn there, but even a trade back, it just, to me, opens up so many options. And in such a deep class, I keep telling people, it's like, if they don't take on day one, it'll be okay. Like, I believe that it's deep enough to go by that ideology. But man, if you walk away with CeeDee Lamb, you don't even need to have day two and day three. Like, you want it right there.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted at you earlier today, just imagining 12 personnel with CeeDee Lamb, Deshaun Jackson, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, and Miles Sanders out there. I mean, holy hell. I mean, the complementing talents, it would just be just incredible. And Carson Wentz, he's never had a receiver like that before. So that's why, with me philosophically here, Gino, when it comes to a deep class, I kind of go back and forth. I think the positions, like you said, quarterback, very different than, you know, a deep running back class. Yeah, I would justify saying I'd rather take a Dalvin Cook in the second round or an Alvin Kamara in their third or fourth rather than taking Christian McCaffrey at 8 overall or Leonard Fournette at 4.
Buddy, but let me tell you, Christian McCaffrey is worth every single dollar
I'm with you on that part. McCaffrey's not your average running back. He's also your wide receiver one on that offense too. So, but again, I go back and forth. I don't think it's smart to give up, you know, again, 2014, if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I don't give up a first round pick in the next draft for Sammy Watkins, right? I don't think it's smart to give up a first and a second round pick for CeeDee Lamb. But I also don't want to sacrifice great for good. I think there's a reason first round picks are first round picks. There's a reason top 10 guys do go top 10. You just have a higher chance to land on that player. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, land an Alvin Kamara in the fourth round, right? Or, I mean, look at all Davante Adams in 2014. What was a third round pick or a late second round pick that day? So I'm not saying you can't land the players later. We've seen the Eagles do that and an undrafted free agency. But again, you have a better shot in the first round. It's why first round prospects are first round prospects. So I'm not going to say no to a trade up because I can get someone in round, you know, the end of round two, round three, or round four. As much as I love, you know, Van Jefferson's not going to be the reason I say no to moving up for CeeDee Lamb, because, and I know you hate the Danelle Pumphrey thing, and I'm not going to justify, but you do have
Van
a higher
Jefferson
percent.
Is
yeah.
not the Danelle
no, no,
Pumphrey
no, no, trust me.
Class.
No, no,
Don't
no,
you
no.
Dare
that is not,
that.
That is not even close to what I was trying to do there. What I'm saying, that can happen anywhere. You could whiff on a pick in all seven rounds, but it is just common logic that, you know, in the fourth round, you have a higher percentage chance of that happening compared to round one. So And I think CeeDee Lamb is just so clearly above the rest of this class. I think really the top three in general are with CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry Jeudy. So I'm open to it. It's not my preference because I think tier two is just so good, and it's why I'm willing to stay at 21 or move down. And again, I'm not talking round two, round three. I'm talking still first round wide receiver. I'm thinking Brandon Ayuk, KJ Hamler, Jalen Reagor, you know, Laviska Shenault, one of those players. But at the same time, I'm not like you, man. I'm not going to complain if Carson Wentz is throwing to CeeDee Lamb for the next decade, as long as it doesn't, you know, take multiple first and second round picks. And that's what you even said. Not all trade ups are the same. You know, trading up to 6 overall is very different than trading up to 13. You know, if it only takes a future second and this year's third, and maybe Rasul Douglas to grab the Niners pick, and CeeDee Lamb fell there, then I'm all for it. So
okay,
again,
yeah,
it's just it varies.
We have to have. So we just finished up our Eagles Twitter mock draft, and all the top three wide receivers were gone by pick number 12.
Right.
So let's figure it out. Let's put the pieces together here. Reports come out today that the New York Jets are eyeing in on Henry Ruggs, so you could say he's gone at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, I know for a fact, probably isn't going to take a wide receiver at number 10. Jacksonville probably will trade out of that pick. We've heard time and time again. And Atlanta wants to trade up. So to me, Arizona at 8, Jacksonville at 9 is a huge question mark.
Uh-huh.
If Ruggs goes at 11, you either have to hope the Raiders have something else in mind, or you have to get into the Raiders spot or San Fran spot and hope that one of your guys is there. Because realistically, I mean, you hope teams trade up for quarterbacks and you hope teams trade up for defensive players if you want this to really work in your favor.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, I mean, like, that's the thing, especially if, and you're talking just one of those players, and I'm good with any of the three, but if the Eagles really, I mean, this report sounds like they are, or a rumor, I should say, if they're all in on CeeDee Lamb, you know, that also adjusts your approach as well, because in that scenario, you've got to be confident that Henry Ruggs and or Jerry Jeudy are going to go first ahead of CeeDee Lamb. If you don't, like, let's say you don't want to move up into the top 10, but you want to get into that 12 to 15 range to grab him, then okay, yeah, maybe not both need to go off the board. But you know, honestly, I think for CeeDee Lamb, I think most teams view him as, I don't know, Henry Ruggs, would I be surprised if he's the top receiver taken? Not at all, but I feel like CeeDee Lamb right now, based on what I'm feeling, is that he's the consensus wide receiver one. So if you specifically want CeeDee Lamb, if you want just the right to one of those three, you can move in the top 15, I think, and have a good shot. But if you have a specific player in mind, you're going to need some dominoes to fall, and you're likely going to have to get into, like you said, I mean, the top 10. I mean, you can't eye San Fran at 13. You're going to have to get ahead of Vegas at 12 and maybe even New York at 11 for your pick of the litter, and that means top 10, and that means the value is going to jack up. I mean, at that point, we could be talking first-round pick, and that is when I'm like, no thanks. I'd rather collect picks and take, like, Ayuk or Shenault.
For sure, and that's the whole, like, the value versus what you're giving up versus what you're getting. And you can go by any draft trade chart metric that you want to look at. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, the teams that move up are giving more value than they're getting when all said and done. But it, to me, I look at this as, are we the Green Bay Packers who trading up for a top three wide receiver would really put them over the hump to be in Super Bowl territory for this year?
See,
because
I still think
Aaron Rodgers' window is like super low to being done. Carson Wentz, like, man, if you can develop Brandon Ayuk and then pick two more receivers out of that class that you want over just getting one of those guys and not even guaranteeing it, to me, just like sitting pat at 21 and seeing how the dominoes fall, to me, is just like they did last year. If something comes about where you could pop up 2 to 3 spots, go ahead. But man, I don't want to be giving up a ton of picks this year, and I do not want to be giving up more next year.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I'd rather have Jalen Reagor in my second and third instead of CeeDee Lamb. But again, there's so many variables. It's why I hate when people just are so close-minded to it when they say, no, don't trade up no matter what. Because again, trade-ups, they vary. And also, you know, there's so many different influences here. Like, if I have more draft picks, if I'm Philadelphia from 2017 to 2019, I'm not thinking about this because I don't have that many picks to begin with. But, you know, if I have 3 fourth round picks and I can afford to give up one in a future second, like, that's in a player, that's a different story for me. So again, there's so many variables. There's so many different ways that this could go down. I mean, hypothetically, Ruggs could go to at 11. Jerry Jeudy could go at 12. And then you don't have to give up a first-round pick. You could only hypothetically give up a couple mid-round picks. And there, that's a no-brainer to me. Because while I don't think the Eagles are, right now, Super Bowl favorites, I certainly think CeeDee Lamb on this offense makes them a top team in the NFC still. So it's a back-and-forth process, Gino. And again, I think this first segment really shows that me and you are very open-minded. We have one specific preference, but again, CeeDee Lamb's on the outside in 2020 for Carson Wentz. That is easily the best target he has ever had in his, you know, heading into year five here. So I'll tell you what, though, before we hit segment two and we get into a break here, the report or this rumor also had it that if the top four wide receivers aren't there, the Eagles would likely move back, which seems very likely. I'll tell you one thing. If it comes down to, because I'm saying I'd rather have one of those tier two receivers and keep my picks, unless it's Justin Jefferson. If that's the case, then I'm moving up. But I feel like you already know that that's kind of where my mind is at.
For sure, yeah. The thing I look at 21, too, is like Rappaport announced the other day that Jordan Love is like the one prospect that could go anywhere between pick 5 and pick 25.
Sure.
And you, by all stretches of the imagination, should be looking at Green Bay, should be looking at New Orleans, should be looking at Indianapolis, maybe even Detroit from their second round pick to move up, getting their future QB. Because how many times have we seen teams give up first round picks to go ahead and get their quarterback in the first round? Man, if you could trade back from 21 to 34 where the Colts are, get next year's first rounder from the Colts, and still have all these draft picks to move up if you want to from 34 into like the 28 to 20 to 30 range, I think that's the way to go, man. Like, because there's no guarantee in the NFL, like, never, not even till the whistle blows zero. There's never a guarantee. So to say you can go and 100% know you're getting CeeDee Lamb is just, it's crazy to me because you never know what can happen.
Absolutely. All right, let's hit one quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, if the Eagles do trade up, and right now the rumor is it's for CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma, is that the right, you know, of Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, and CeeDee Lamb, is he the right prospect for Philadelphia to fall in love with here in next Thursday's first round? This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll get into that coming up. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into segment two of the Locked On Eagles podcast, a Wednesday edition of the show. Me and Gino are getting into how to go about a very deep wide receiver class, or just a position, the class of that position in general in one NFL draft, specifically this year where we're talking about wide receiver. And because there was a rumor that surfaced today that the Eagles are quote-unquote aggressively pursuing a trade-up specifically for Oklahoma wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, Gino, we went back and forth in segment one, you know, on if this is the right move to move up in general, you know, for a wide receiver. Let's talk specifically players now. Let's say they are very committed to moving up. Do you think that CeeDee Lamb is the right one of Lamb, Ruggs, Jeudy? Would you go with Lamb?
All right, quick thing that I just was talking about, Jordan Love going to the Colts. Locked On Colts, our associate at Locked On Network, just tweeted out FanDuel's updated gambling. I haven't gambled in so long, Lou, that I can't. The lines. I haven't looked at a line in so long.
Because you've lost your.
I'm getting gambler's rust and it stinks. But anyway, the lines just came out for the Colts' first pick in the draft, and Jordan Love is favored at +500.
Makes sense.
So we talk about that. Having a team that wants to move up, man, to move 13 spots and move back into the second round, that I'm getting a one next year 100% from the Indy if I'm the Eagles. But getting back to the discussion, I think that's something that really could be on the table because we know the Eagles did that with Baltimore a couple years ago. But getting back to it, CeeDee Lamb has been my wide receiver number one for the longest time in this class. I just absolutely love what he does. He's a playmaker by every stretch of the imagination. Ruggs, yes, he has the speed element, but to me, Alabama had so many effective players on that offense.
Four receivers that'll go in the first round the next 2 years.
Exactly. I mean, CeeDee was playing good competition, played at a high level against very good competition in the playoffs. He had good quarterbacks every single year he was at college. You're going to get him into a Carson Wentz system that, man, just get the ball in its hands. Like, we've been talking about this type of player for so long. Like, yeah, Jerry Jeudy would be nice, but to me, CD and what he did on his own at Oklahoma, like, without him last year, they're not making the college football playoff. Like, no doubt in my mind.
No way. Yeah, you're right.
As good as Jalen Hurts was as a college quarterback, CD Lamb was a player that that team won because of. Like, we talk about those three paradigms, win with, win because of, and win in spite of, and CD is really a win because of type player. So is Jerry Jeudy, and so is Henry Ruggs, but to me, CD, just what you have seen out of him in all levels of the field, getting off of press, moving in and out of the slot, you can really arrange him in any type of alignment that you want. His hands are unbelievable. It's just, I don't want to keep talking about it because I'm going to get sad when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, it's true. You're talking yourself into it, and I'm with you. Okay. And I honestly, Gino, I expected to go onto the tape and enjoy watching Henry Ruggs more than Lamb and Jeudy. And I think, don't get me wrong, Henry Ruggs would be amazing. That speed in this offense, exactly what I am looking for, and I've been bitching about on this podcast for months now, and years, to be honest. But Lamb, I put on the tape every time, and he is just so, even last year, I remember when Hollywood Brown, I was going in on a lot of his tape, I kept noticing CeeDee Lamb, and I'm like, when is he going to be in the draft? Because that guy is just, he's an alpha wide receiver, Gino. He's an alpha on the field. He's going to go up, he's going to pick that ball out of the air no matter who's around him. I mean, his hands, I still remember that crossbody one-handed catch along the sidelines, I think it was 2 years ago, and that's when he was on my radar, like, when is he draft eligible? Because that player I need for Carson Wentz. And I think he is the best overall wide receiver in this class. Jerry Jeudy, elite route runner. I think CeeDee Lamb, just as good of a route runner as Jerry Jeudy. Run after the catch ability, speed ability. He's not as fast as Ruggs, but he is right there with Ruggs. So I think he has everything Jeudy has, everything Ruggs has, and more. I mean, like you said, just elite separation ability in press and in off. He's just so shifty, smooth,
I told
explosive.
You DeVonta Smith was my favorite Alabama wide receiver. Like, I'd much rather prefer picking him next year than either of these two this year.
Yeah, and it's just like Lamb has that ability, just like DeAndre Hopkins, to just go up and pick the ball out of midair every time. But he's also a threat to break any play big. I mean, I pulled up three PFF stats that just go to show Lamb's, like, overall ability. Career deep receptions of 20-plus yards downfield of these wide receiver prospects, Lamb is number one, ahead of Jeudy, ahead of Laviska Shenault, ahead of Henry Ruggs. Yards per catch, he led all these prospects 21.4. And then what was the other one here? Most receiving yards after contact per catch, CeeDee Lamb at number one at 6.1, and our boy Brandon Ayuk second at 5.8. So, I mean, he's not just – he's a more athletic, I would say. He's combined DeAndre Hopkins with Tyreek Hill, and that's kind of what I don't want to make it sound like he's the best receiver of all time, and I kind of am doing that by using that comparison, but, like, you know, the point is that he's just overall a stud prospect.
I think you did it perfectly. I mean,
now I'm in on it too, man. Now
I mean, we got into the Hollywood debate last year. Like, I don't think Ruggs is the same type of player as Hollywood.
No,
but
I don't either.
They're definitely Ferrari type players. Like, if Ruggs gets hurt, like, I could definitely see it. Like, I'm not gonna just make any assumptions, but just CD, just he takes hits, like, he invites contact, he sustains through the catch point. He's everything you want in a true number one wide receiver, and that DeAndre Hopkins comparison is perfect. I think he has more juice in his game than DeAndre right now, for sure. But you get him a number one receiver. You have DeSean Jackson next year. You have that CD and Hollywood Brown element again, that with who? They had Kyler Murray last year. Yeah, with Kyler Murray, went to the college football playoff. So, yep. I mean, man, just imagine that. Just imagine Carson throwing a CD Lamb and DeSean Jackson.
Now I'm in, Gino. Now I've talked myself into it, and now I'm going to be disappointed no matter what.
I told you, we're going to be sad, dude.
No, I mean, again, if they take Ayuk, if they have one of those other receivers, I'm going to be cool with it. But, yeah, am I someone that's in on a trade up? It depends, but for the most part, yes. If CeeDee Lamb's a Philadelphia Eagle next year, regardless, unless it costs a first and a second, I'm probably going to be pretty happy at the end of next week.
For sure.
All right, Gino, let's take one more break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Locked On NFL Network. We went through a 2020 mock draft special with all the hosts of each 32 teams and their respective podcasts. So we're going to get into pick 21 coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. So we'll play that for you. And then me and Gina will be back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. And, of course, the conversation always continues on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE and at Gino_LOE. For Gino and myself right now, we're going to sign off. We will play that segment of the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. As for me and Gino, as always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
And the pick is in for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to the Locked On Eagles War Room and find out who the selection is at 21.
What's up, everybody? This is Louis DiBiase of the Locked On Eagles podcast, and with the 21st overall pick in the 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Arizona State wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. No secret, the Eagles need help at wide receiver this year. Last year, they make the playoffs despite that position at the practice squad level. That's what they had featured on the outside for Carson Wentz, right? Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett, Robert Davis. This year, they head in with only really DeSean Jackson as a lock to be part of the starting lineup. Who knows what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to be in the second year. Alshon Jeffrey coming off a Liz Frank injury. He might not even be on the roster. Greg Ward had a promising final month of the season, but again, he was on the practice squad before that. So the Eagles desperately need help at wide receiver, and they desperately need help in the speed department. Specifically, DeSean Jackson is 34 years old. They have nobody else on the roster with his explosiveness or really what Ayuk has in that department as well. Ayuk is one of the best run-after-the-catch deep threat wide receivers in a loaded 2020 wide receiver class. And he also has the upside of being a complete wide receiver one. This isn't a pick of just the Eagles need speed, so we're going to take a guy like John Ross or Philip Dorsett or Paris Campbell. No, Brandon Ayuk, yes, he is one of the best prospects in that area. Speed down the field, run after the catchability, short area explosiveness, but he can do so much more. He is an extremely fast route runner. He can get open consistently against press coverage on the outside, and he's also at 6'1", lengthy, crazy wingspan, and you add that on top of a 40-inch vertical. He's somebody that he's going to create separation consistently, but if he doesn't, he can still go up there and make really tough catches. Actually, last year and his entire career at Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk never dropped a pass 20-plus yards down the field. So to me, I think this pick makes perfect sense for the Eagles. You have this great balance now of speed and size in your offense. DeSean Jackson, Brandon Ayuk, and Miles Sanders is kind of your new Jackson, Macklin, and McCoy from 2010 to 2014, and then you have the size of Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, and hopefully J.J. Arcega-Whiteside slash Alshon Jeffrey or a rookie. That's just a way better balance than maybe taking somebody like Justin Jefferson here with this pick. And I think Ayuk would have the most upside of any wide receiver Carson Wentz has ever had. And I know maybe this seems like a surprise pick because there aren't a lot of mock drafts that have Brandon Ayuk this high, but to me, it won't feel like a reach in a few weeks. Teams have him graded this high. Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl respects his opinion for sure. He has talked with teams who said they have a higher grade on Ayuk than his former Arizona State teammate N'Keal Harry, who was a first-round pick last year for the New England Patriots. So I know Justin Jefferson, I know Denzel Mims, they're getting all the hype at this pick at 21, but I think Ayuk could go ahead of them, and I think he is the better fit for Philadelphia right here at 21.
Brandon Ayuk is one wide receiver atop the NFL draft board, a senior out of Arizona State. He is 5'11", 201 pounds. ASU has been turning into a West Coast version of wide receiver U. Ayuk is looking as if he might be the second Sun Devil to go in the first round in as many years. You remember N'Keal Harry last year was a first-round get by the Patriots. IU stats scream greatness. 1,192 receiving yards a season ago. That was second in the Pac-12, 15th in the nation. Added bonuses include he is multidimensional. You can use him in the special teams game. He returned punts and kicks back with the Sun Devils. He's a speed demon as well in the screen game. His deficiency shows up with his size. He's under 6 feet. This realization might turn off some teams who think he's not going to win a whole lot of jump balls. IU shrugs off that criticism when pointing to his 80-inch wingspan and his 40-inch vertical leap. One other slight comes down to his lack of sustained production. He produced pedestrian numbers prior to his senior year. He was a two-star junior college recruit, only received one Pac-12 offer. The other interested schools hailed from the group of five, and they foresaw him as a defensive back. He could be a lock for a first or second round selection, although when he gets into the league, it could take a year or two for him to get fully acclimated to the pro game.